Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From the station that made country music famous, 650 AM WSM, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hey, it's Charlie Maddox, and in this episode, we sit down with David Nail. David joined us in studio as he was getting set to play the Friday Night Opry. Obviously, we would share some great Opry memories. We'd talk music. We'd also talk wrestling and monster trucks. Enjoy our conversation on our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast with David Nail. That's David Nail, and he is in studio with us, and so excited to see David on the Friday Night Opry lineup. I was telling you, it's going to be a really fun show tomorrow night at the Opry. John Conley's going to kick it off, and you are up second, and that works really well for your schedule because you've got a crazy early flight, you were telling me, on Saturday morning.
I do have an early flight, but also I have three children who I believe it'll be the first time my 16-month-old has ever seen or heard me sing live. Oh, wow. She heard me this morning do a Garth Brooks medley at about 7 a.m. And we danced a little bit in the kitchen. But it'll be the first time that she's ever seen me perform. So we're excited. But that also can lead to a lot of anxiety and just, you know, me praying for the people that are sitting around them.
Because the twins are six now, right?
They somewhat will sit still, maybe. Okay. There's a chance for maybe 15 minutes. But the 16-month-old, you know, I can't guarantee you that she won't run up and daddy her way to the stage.
Well, I love following you on social media. So I have an 8-year-old at home. So we went through the Monster Jam phase. And unfortunately, that was like during 2020, and there was nowhere we could go for Monster Jams. But I understand you just recently had the Monster Jam experience.
We did. My wife has done this amazing thing with she gives each of the twins like their own day where they kind of get both of us, and they get all the attention, and they kind of get you know, to do more or less whatever they want to do, eat whatever they want to do, more or less just spoiled, which is not entirely different than a normal day. It's just their own day by themselves. And Lawson picked the Monster Jam, and that was intense. I had never I grew up, of course, watching, you know, Bigfoot and stuff, and it was a little sad when Bigfoot wasn't there.
Right.
But I learned from the fellow beside me that Bigfoot has since been retired.
Is Gravedigger still around?
Gravedigger, I think it was his 40th year.
Ah, yeah.
They were really promoting Gravedigger quite a bit. There were a lot of Gravedigger t-shirts there. So
his comeback tour, I'm sure.
Yeah, I remember. It's like his sixth farewell tour, I think. You know?
They're like
the Eagles.
Was this
they can't quite ever go away.
Now I'm picturing Vince Gill behind Gravedigger. Was this at Bridgestone?
It was.
So not, you know, often sometimes these are outdoors at football stadiums, and at least the noise has a place to escape. It must have been crazy loud.
We had earplugs, and of course he had those earphones that have become popular over the last few years, and that was what was bizarre. You're driving down there, and you're so used to going to like a Preds game and seeing all the ticket scalpers. Instead of ticket scalpers, it was people with like, you know, cheap headphones that they were selling just by like the dozens and dozens of them. It was just like, where am I going? That's where you get
the knockoff Gravedigger shirt.
Yes, exactly. It's for $5, right? Yeah, but don't wash it, right? That's the problem. All right, so I'm going to ask your advice because unfortunately, we're past the Monster Jam phase, although I think he would still enjoy it. But he's pushing for wrestling. Have you done the WWE in person yet?
No, but I had my best friend from back home in Missouri. I've kind of learned that we're a little behind everything he's gone through. His son is about 10, and he did the wrestling about 8.
Okay, well, yeah.
And they were in. Like, they dove in hard.
Okay.
They went to, like, 3 or 4 different matches. If you went over to his house for, like, Christmas or whatever, he would do, like, the whole costume, and he could show you all their moves. So it was a little distracting trying to watch TV and catch up with your friend because you'd get, like, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, like, off the top of the couch. Yeah. I'm prepared for it. Okay. In fact, I think in Target, the wrestling aisle, they do it perfect. It's just past the Hot Wheel. We're coming. We're like kind of souring on Hot Wheels right now. Mm-hmm. That was real big around Christmas. He's kind of getting bored with that, which I would too when you had everything that they make.
Right.
there's nothing to look forward to anymore.
The beauty of Hot Wheels, at least, they're only a buck a piece in the Kroger. Yeah. So it's an affordable
habit. I'll tell you,
you got to get into
what's
one.
What's crazy is right before Christmas, like, you couldn't get them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like, it was so sad. Like, you'd go down the aisle, and if you didn't get that stuff, like, 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas, like, there was not a car to be had. I mean, we were going to Walmart. We were going to Target. I went to, like, 3 or 4 Targets. We'd go, like, the Kroger down where we live has a pretty decent toy section. So, his birthday is on the 12th, and so they had a little birthday money they were wanting to spend, mm-hmm. kind of anticipating what Santa was going to bring. And so he was wanting to accumulate all these cars for this track that he thought Santa was going to bring, and we couldn't accumulate all these cars. So then when Santa came, we didn't really have the proper car collection to really make Santa's gift, you know, that transcending gift.
May I share one quick Santa story with you?
Yes.
You'll appreciate this. So on the Santa list this year was a Nintendo Switch, and among other things.
Oh.
And I tried to explain to my little guy that, you know, Jackson, this is a lot to ask of Santa, because there are millions of children around the world that he has to provide toys for, and this is kind of a lot to ask sometimes. And he looks at me with all seriousness and goes, Daddy, Santa does not pay for these things. The elves make them. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk to your mother about this. So, I mean, well, you've won that argument. I don't know where to go from here. So, oh, goodness. David Nail is in studio. The most recent EP is Boot Heel, and it is so good. And you guys are going to do something live from that, I think.
We're going to try. Yep. We're going to try. It's always a journey. Never know.
Will you introduce your fellow guitar player this morning?
This is Peter Ferguson, and this is a privilege more so than the live song. The fact that Peter's awake.
This is the other 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's probably been, you know, in the studio at his house until about 2 hours ago and probably caught like a short little nap. So we'll try to steal 5 more minutes
out
of you. Down on Main Street, Friday fever, come round sundown, Indians and Eagles.
That's live in studio with David Nail. He's on the Friday Night Opry. More with David coming up on Coffee, Country, and Cody.
From WSM Radio, this is Coffee, Country, and Cody.
In studio on this Thursday morning with David Nail. He'll be part of the Friday Night Opry. I mentioned it's a terrific lineup. John Conley's going to kick it off. David Nail, Riders in the Sky, Priscilla Block, Bobby Osborne and the Rocky Top Express, Wendy Moten, fresh off a great run on The Voice, Gary Muledeer, who's a funny, funny man, and Carly Pierce, the CMA Female Vocalist of the Year, will wrap it up. Tickets available at Opry.com. We started the segment off with Red Light, and obviously that was the first big monster hit. But interestingly enough, I for some reason, I thought that was the first number one, but Let It Rain that Sarah Buxton was a part of was really the first one to top the chart, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I remember right towards the end of Red Light, we were up and I won't say where, we were at a radio station up north, and I can remember this particular radio programmer saying, man, it's just a shame Red Light's not 2 weeks younger, because this would be a number one record. And I remember thinking, what? We can't, it's been on the chart for a year. Yeah. We can't squeeze 2 more weeks out of it. Like, two lousy weeks are going to determine like the fate of this song. But you know, it's crazy. Like, without a doubt, you know, I mean, I hate, they're all like your children, so you can't really say favorites. But you know, I would venture to say Red Light's every bit, if not more, popular than Let It Rain. It just kind of goes to show you, just because it's a number one or 12 or whatever number it is, doesn't necessarily mean anything to the fans.
Yeah, but it was the first one too, so that kind of is huge as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it was the first song that it wasn't the first song we'd ever released. We released I'm About to Come Alive, and that went all the way to 47, which is, that's a number you want to stay away from.
Okay.
You want to kind of speed past 47 as fast as you can, and it lived in 47 land way too long. But Red Light came out, and it took a while, but it did something for us. And then we actually released Turning Home. Next, which was a song that was nominated for a Grammy, and it was barely top 20, mm-hmm. and then Let It Rain was the next, and it went mm-hmm. to number one, probably not too far, but, you know, about this time, you know, several years ago.
Yeah. And you were a co-writer on that one, though, right?
I was with Jonathan Singleton, who wrote Red Light yep. and mm-hmm. had written a lot of songs for me, but wrote Nights on Fire, which was later a single for radio mm-hmm. for us. So I wrote with Jonathan a couple months ago, and it's always a treat to be across the table from somebody that's had such an instrumental part in your career.
Yeah. Was your Opry debut around the time that Red Light was climbing the charts?
You know, it had to have been because I think it was around May, because I think it was around my birthday. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I know it was, because I think my wife, we were getting ready to get married in June. And I think my wife had some girls in town for like a mini bachelorette party. Mm-hmm. And so I think they all got to come for that. So that was one of those days that, you know, for somebody who deals with anxiety, that was a day that I wouldn't wish on anybody. I was excited.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Literally just an absolute wreck
right.
of emotions. And I'll never forget, I just spoken to Vince Gill before that recently, and we were talking about it. He just said, man, you go out there and make fun of yourself, and it'll just take the pressure off, mm-hmm. and you'll feel so much more comfortable. So I was like, okay, well, I'll try to do that. And I was so nervous, and I had such a bad cotton mouth, even backstage before playing, that I was just pounding waters. Mm-hmm. And so when I went out there, I informed the crowd that I already needed to use the bathroom because I had drank so much water. And the place just went crazy. And I was like, well, we got that out of the bag, so I guess I can just sing now. And so I proceeded to sing, I think, two songs, and after it was over, is the worst adrenaline crash I'd ever had. You know, you always have a little bit when you get off stage.
Oh, sure.
You just kind of from that euphoria. And I can remember just driving home and going, man, I really got worked up for that one, because I was just exhausted. I think I went home and slept within an hour.
Vince is one of the best at being self-deprecating.
Oh,
I
man.
Love
he is.
Yeah.
He's been so instrumental in my career, just with little one-liners like that, and he was a huge, huge, huge hero of mine, and so to have him in those moments, it's been really special. You know, I always tell him, you better be telling me something true, because I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
Well, we got about a minute left. Couple of quick sports notes. As a Missouri native, were we rooting for or against the Rams as former residents of St. Louis?
Well, we were feverishly rooting for the Bengals.
Okay, all right.
Not only did the Rams move, a Missouri boy moved them.
Yeah.
The guys, their owner's from Missouri, mm-hmm. so that was a tough one to swallow.
All right. And are we going to play baseball? I mean, against, they'll figure it out eventually, but it's kind of not happy right now.
Every time
it?
I get on my phone, I keep thinking, because they're meeting every day this week, right. I keep thinking they're going to say, oh, breaking news, like mm-hmm. we've come to an agreement, but it seems to be going backwards a little bit at a time.
Yeah. So is one of your little guys a Red Sox fan? I saw one of them on Instagram with a Red Sox t-shirt.
Yeah, we try to kind of beat that into all of them. You know, New England is king. You know, like my father said, you can root for anybody. I'd prefer you to be a Cardinals fan, but you can't root for the Yankees or the Cubs. So if you can't root for the Yankees, you might as well root for their bitter rivals.
That's good advice. Good life advice right there from David Nail. More of that tomorrow night on the Friday Night Opera. David, it's been a pleasure. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
To see us.
My pleasure.
All right, Coffee, Country, and Cody with David Nail.
Thanks for listening to our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Our program director at WSM Radio is J. Patrick Tittle. Our digital producer is Haley Hall. Marketing and promotions director is Amanda Cannon. And I'm Charlie Mattos. If you like what you've heard, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help new people find the show.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.